It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We've already used the term journey of discovery to describe the archaeological work Duquesne University Dean and Professor Dr. Philip Reeder has been a part of. And yes, it's an understatement. What his team has discovered is truly groundbreaking, pun intended. Dr. Reeder, Dean of the Bayer School of Natural and Environmental Sciences, was co-investigator on a project making a major discovery in Nazareth, in Israel, as well as in Lithuania. He joins us in studio to discuss the importance of these archaeological finds. Philip Reeder, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Very happy to be here.
And if you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter, at ESSPGH. Dr. Reeder, your work on relatively young history in Eastern Europe contrasts with work you and your team are completing in Israel. What can you tell us about your recently excavated findings?
Well, the project in Israel has been ongoing really for about the last 10 years. And we, in July of 2012 and then in January 2015, worked at a particular site, the Greek Orthodox Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth. And part of the research group that I'm a member of, it's biblical scholars, it's archaeologists. Myself, I'm a geographer. I specialize in mapping techniques and the collection of spatial data. And working with geophysicists using a tool called ground-penetrating radar, we located some what the GPR experts would call anomalies beneath the courtyard behind the church. And when you locate these anomalies, it takes some data analysis. So we took the data back to the United States, analyzed it, and decided that we had a very unique anomaly behind the Greek Orthodox Church of the Annunciation. And we made a plan then for excavation to happen in June 15.
And so you had some idea of what you would find, but not an exact idea.
Right, exactly. What the geophysics, the ground-penetrating radar, there's another kind. It's called electroresistivity tomography. But both allow you to map the subsurface without ever having to dig anything up. And these experts in these two different disciplines can look at the plots that come from these instruments and determine with a reasonable amount of accuracy what's in the subsurface. And based on the anomalies and the analysis that they did, they saw a continuous layer beneath the courtyard, about 2 meters beneath the surface, behind the Greek Orthodox Church of the Annunciation. When you see something that's continuous like that, it's usually an indication of something that's been man-made.
And I'm trying to picture how this works. Where is the radar positioned relative to what you're looking to excavate?
Yeah, there's all different kinds of units. The one that we use for the ground-penetrating radar is a handheld unit, essentially. It's operated by two people. It's dragged along the ground.
And so you're on site.
Yeah,
And you're on top of the surface looking, trying to figure out what's down there.
Exactly.
So the radar produces some sort of an image for you?
Right. What it does is, not to get too technical, it has a transmitter and a receiver. The transmitter actually emits FM radio waves, which then bounce off the materials in the subsurface, and then they are bounced back towards the surface, and then the receiver collects that data, and then software associated with the system will then analyze the signal that comes back and essentially draw a picture of what's in the subsurface. So it's dragged across the land surface. What we do is we set up grids that are usually 15 meters by 15 meters, something like that, in order to collect the data in an area about that size. That's probably a 3 or 4 hour operation.
Is this, with regard to the synagogue, this is recent history or young history is how I initially described it, because you're only going back 60 years. You're going back to, World War II and post-World War II history. And so is this sort of a different take on archaeology? Because usually it involves things that are centuries old.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. Because you think about what we discovered at Nazareth. Right now, the best estimate is that it's 4th century, the floor that we discovered. And then, as you said, in Vilnius, Lithuania, where we worked at the Great Synagogue of Vilnius, we're only looking back 50, 55 years. But the thing is, what archaeology does is archaeology can look at recent history. What we're trying to do is make this recent history known before it sort of disappears into our minds and disappears into the history books.
Right. You are, in a way, rediscovering a lost civilization. It may not be a lost civilization from centuries ago, but it is a culture that has been lost in Europe because of the Nazis and because of the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union's disregard for Judaism.
Exactly. Yeah. During World War II, that particular area in Vilnius, about 70,000 Jews were murdered and then 30,000 other citizens by the Nazis. The synagogue, the Great Synagogue of Vilnius, which is thought to be one of the largest synagogues in Eastern Europe, was not destroyed by the Nazis, but it was damaged.
That seems to have been their MO, going back to Kristallnacht, a synagogue would be damaged, but they for some reason, they did not tear it all the way down. Do we know why that is?
I think it was the fact that they used many buildings, or when they ghettoed the Jews, they used the neighborhoods as places to keep them contained. So oftentimes large buildings like a synagogue would be used to keep people contained. So there was no real reason to knock it down completely because it gave them sort of a perimeter in which they could keep people. When the Nazis left and then the Soviets came in, the Soviets, as you said, they sort of wanted to rewrite the history from their perspective. They completely destroyed the synagogue, knocked it down. Built a school over the site, and then what you think of as sort of your typical Soviet late 50s era housing blocks in the area as well.
So the remains of the synagogue were then simply paved over?
Covered over with soil and sediment, and it's in the center of the city of Vilnius, and the center of the city and all that activity that goes on there essentially goes on around it. There are a few interpretive signs saying this is where the synagogue used to be. But that's it. That's the remains have been completely wiped off the face of the earth.
Why is it important to, this may seem like an obvious question, but why is it important to dig up these remains and to prove what was there?
Yeah, it's the history and preserving the heritage of those people and the Jews of Lithuania and the Jews of Vilnius. And the fact that it was a grand structure, it was a structure that persisted throughout history. The pattern is from antiquity and through history. Oftentimes, structures are knocked down by various political entities coming in and taking over a place, and then a new structure is built in its place. We don't have direct evidence yet that there's a much older synagogue actually under that great synagogue of Vilnius that was eventually knocked down by the Nazis. So it's a matter really of preserving history, and you really, if you put a timeline on it, can you say that history of 1,500 years ago is any more important than history of 50 years ago?
We're talking with Dr. Philip Reeder, Dean of the Bayer School of Natural and Environmental Sciences, co-investigator on a project which made a major archaeological discovery recently in Nazareth, Israel, as well as Lithuania, separated by hundreds and hundreds of years, but certainly not separated in terms of their significance. And before we move on to what you discovered in Nazareth, with regard to the excavation or with regard to the discovery of the synagogue in Lithuania, when will you be going to complete the excavation?
Yeah, it's a cooperative project. I'm part of a research group that's out of the University of Hartford, and we've been working together now for 15 years, and we've worked all over Israel, all over various places in Europe. And this particular project is headed up by an archaeologist from the Israel Antiquities Authority, actually. And it's a project that he has taken on because of his heritage of being Lithuanian, and actually he had family members who were murdered as part of the Holocaust in Lithuania, and he's taken on this project because he wants to preserve the history, not only for the sake of preserving the history, but I think in memory of his family members who were murdered there as well. So the plan is right now that the initial report's being written. Once the initial report is written, it gets submitted to the Lithuanian government and reviewed, and then we hope that next summer again we'll have the permit to be able to go back and continue this work. The long term.
Have you broken the ground yet?
No. We had a non-invasive permit, which means that you can't dig anything up. The probably next summer that will continue to be a non-invasive permit, or you may get what's called a limited excavation permit where you're allowed to sink a certain number of holes to see what's down there. The eventual goal, John Seligman, he is the archaeologist from the Israel Antiquities Authority, his goal is to raise enough money to be able to completely excavate and rebuild the synagogue. Certainly a very lofty goal. Will that happen? I'm not sure. But at minimum, to expose some of the parts of the old synagogue, to construct some sort of a museum at that spot, so that a place of such historical significance does not slip from people's minds and sort of slip into the oblivion of history.
How much has the integrity of that site been compromised? I would imagine that there was quite a bit of looting, certainly during the Nazi era, if not during the Soviet era.
Yeah, I without doing excavation, you can't tell. The geophysical instruments will show you where walls are, perhaps where doorways are, where floors are, but it won't show you any artifacts. So then that comes to light when the actual excavation goes on and the artifacts are unearthed.
Hopefully they're there. And is it striking for you to imagine that this really wouldn't have been possible even 25 years ago under the old Soviet regime, right?
Correct, yeah.
So how cooperative has the Lithuanian government, now that it's independent, how cooperative has it been in your work?
Very cooperative. I think they, too, want this history told and want this history uncovered. So they've been very cooperative. With any government, you have rules to follow. So the rules say you must be permitted and you must receive the correct type of permitting, et cetera. So again, we did that for this particular summer, got a certain type of permit. Next summer, the work will continue. And, as we speak right now, the process is underway to get permission to be able to do that next year as well.
Well, good luck with that. And in the meantime, the discovery of the synagogue came on the heels of discovering a church floor in Nazareth believed to date to the 4th century. Describe this mosaic floor and the feeling of discovering it.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of back history first.
Sure.
When we were doing the ground penetrating radar in first in 2012, and then we did some mapping in 2015, it's a strange feeling that you have, that you know something is there and you want to know right at that moment in time what's there, and then having to wait 6 months to be able to actually find out what's there. It's not torture, but it's uncomfortable. When ground was broken at that particular location, I was not on site for the initial discovery. I was back here in Pittsburgh. And in fact, the dig remained open for 10 days, I would say, and then it closed for Ramadan. It's been reopened again in 2 weeks. I'm flying over for the second part of the dig. So I wasn't there to have the exhilaration of uncovering the floor, but actually when those emails came in and those pictures came in of the floor, I don't think I had the exhilaration that the archaeologists had when they uncovered it, but it was certainly an exhilarating experience.
Sure. Let's take a call. We have James in Bay County on the line with a question. James, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You are on the line with Dr. Philip Reeder.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to tell you something. I know that your screen is going to be quick, but if you can get on Nova, look for the city Petra, okay? It's in Jordan. Maybe Philip can back me up. They explain how he's talking about this radar stuff. They do it graphically. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. You can do that in your off time. Is that okay, Paul?
That sounds great.
Philip,
yes.
Did you hear about them finding John the Baptist's place where he lived? There's some, the Jews have some kind of pool that they bathe in or something. They believe John the Baptist. If you could comment on that, and I'll, like I said, I'll be brief. And why are archaeologists always trying to disprove King David lived? There's an indication in archaeology they found some pottery that indicated he's alive, and I think he was alive and he really was a king. And I'll hang up and listen, and hey, Paul, you have a good time looking at Nova. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, James. Thanks for that suggestion.
All right, James, I'm not a biblical scholar, so I'm not going to comment on King David. You mentioned John the Baptist. I was actually part of a project not by our announcement or press conference, but it somehow became construed that we had found John the Baptist. And that was at a project I worked on in 2001, 2002 at Qumran, the site where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. And we indeed found a tomb that we later called a mourning enclosure located adjacent to the cemetery at Qumran, one of the most famous cemeteries from antiquity. This mausoleum overlooked the main cemetery and then the ruined but now rebuilt town of Qumran. And it was a single burial. It was a male. He had a cooking pot placed on his chest as part of the ritual burial. And his head was propped up on a rock, and he was looking towards the rising sun. A press conference ensued after that, and somehow it went around the world that we had discovered John the Baptist. So I don't know how that happened, but and I don't feel like that was John the Baptist.
Okay. How interesting and important is it to have Jews, Christians, and Muslims all working on a dig in an area of such religious upheaval?
Yeah, we're all friends, for one thing. And we don't look at each other as Jews, Muslims, and Christians.
But the poignancy of this is certainly not lost on you.
Right. No. Exactly. The poignancy is not lost. The fact that it says, you know, as people, we can mutually work together. We all get along great, so I could say get over our differences, but we don't have many differences. But it can really, be symbolic of the fact that people can work together on such a project. Maha Darosha is the head archaeologist on the project for excavating the floor behind the Church of the Annunciation Greek Orthodox, and she's actually from Nazareth. And she is currently an adjunct professor at the University of Hartford, also at the University of Connecticut in Arabic languages. And then she's also an archaeologist as well, and she's heading up this project. And from the perspective of different ethnic groups working together, especially in a place like Nazareth. Nazareth is an Arab city in the city, or in the country of Israel, the fact that Maha is Muslim herself and she's heading up this project, I think that it can be evidence that people can get along at the person-to-person level and hopefully impetus for bigger things to happen as well.
And what has the level of cooperation been with those in charge? As you mentioned, you've got, Arab, it's an Arab city, but, you've got the Israeli government to deal with. So when you go in there, these are ancient sites and, obviously very sacred areas. You have to get permission ahead of time, but then, as you're doing this, I'm guessing there are, maybe people that are sort of keeping a close eye on what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah, they are. The Israel Antiquities Authority, although it is part of Israel, in Nazareth, they sort of stand to the side just a bit for the local Arab Council, or in this case, because of the fact that it's located at the Greek Orthodox Church to the Greek Orthodox Council, and they really run things. The Greek Orthodox bishop, I won't even attempt to say his name, but the Greek Orthodox bishop is 100% fully behind this project. And in fact, I'd mentioned the project closed for Ramadan and was not planned to be reopened again until next summer. And Ramadan came and the Greek Orthodox bishop said, I want to pay to have the project reopened again. And we will get all the permissions that are needed. He said, can you please bring your team back and can you please start? And we would love this excavation to be finished.
And it's starting back up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, starts up next week. I'll be there. I land on August the 5th.
What does the juxtaposition of the team's recent archaeological work of the ancient church with the work on a more recent structure illustrate?
I think, again, it illustrates the fact that, history and the timeline that you look at of culture and changes in culture is really a scale-based phenomena, and the fact that, yes, there's ancient history, and there's history that's tens of thousands of years old, and what makes history more relevant 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, or 50 years ago? Essentially, it's all still history. And the fact with the Vilnius project from the existence of what was one of the largest synagogues in Eastern Europe and its destruction just a little over 50 years ago, and the fact that it was recognized by a few signs that said this is where it used to be, really, I think, set it up for being lost and one of those many lost places that gets just lost in history.
And when are you going back to Lithuania?
Lithuania next summer.
So you have to wait a year for that.
Yeah, and then when we go back to Lithuania, one of the great things about the research team that I'm working with and the type of the research that we do is that when we were in Lithuania, we're working at the Great Synagogue our permits come through the cultural authorities there, and invariably, any place we work around the world, they will come and say, "I have another place we want you want us to look at. Can you please come and look at this?" So we went and looked essentially at the killing fields where the Jews were killed, and they want to do some work at that particular location. It's about 7 miles outside of the city of Vilnius. It's in a forest. In Lithuania, there were no extermination camps, like Sobibor, which is in Poland. I worked there before. Auschwitz. They were sort of in the hinterlands there, and they did not construct an extermination camp, and they actually killed the Jews by firing squad. And they did it in this particular forest. And there's been a little bit of archaeological work done there, but they've asked us to come up and to do some sort of reconnaissance with the geophysics to see what we see beneath the surface.
Well, it's fascinating and important work, and all of which preserves history in all of its ugliness, and in the case of Nazareth, its beauty as well. We've been talking with Dr. Philip Reeder. He was part of a team that discovered a mosaic floor in Nazareth that appears to be one of the earliest churches in the history of Christianity, a shrine where tradition holds the angel Gabriel foretold the birth of Jesus to Mary, and he's also been working in contrast in Lithuania, focusing on uncovering history less than 60 years old, Eastern Europe's one-time largest synagogue, as well as the other work that he just described. He is the dean and at Duquesne University, dean of the Bayer School of Natural and Environmental Sciences and co-investigator on the project. Dr. Philip Reeder, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing the results of your work, updating us on your work, and we hope to have you back when you get back from your other coming trips.
I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll look at the new Tunesium exhibit, Slinging Satire, Political Cartoons and the First Amendment. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.